The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Whenever my grandmother was watching the news on the television and she heard of a natural disaster, whether a tornado or an earthquake where people were injured or killed and lots was destroyed, she would look at the TV and shake her head and say, "Jesus must be coming soon." And as she would look at the newspaper and hear the local stories of what people were doing to each other and hurting each other and taking each other's lives and the kind of things that people do, she would look at the paper and shake her head and say, "Oh, Jesus must be coming soon." The same thing when she listened to the radio and was overwhelmed by what she heard going on in the world. "Jesus must be coming soon." For she believed that it was the second coming of Jesus that would set the world right. That when Jesus came back, Jesus would correct what was wrong, would renew creation, would renew human life, and would make things better, which she yearned for from the depth of her heart. It is faith that kept that vision in front of her, that there will come a time when God will set all things right. But what is it about the quality of character that allows a person to stand in the moment when it seems like everything is falling apart and looking at where things could be and allows that person to get from the first part to the second? What is it about a person's character? We call it, from the text today, persistence. Having the vision of the future, we persist in the present, even though it seems at times that the world is crashing in around us. When you read through the Gospel of Luke, I want you to pay attention to one of the wonderful literary devices that the writer of Luke uses. Luke loves to put opposites together. And so a great example of that is in another section of Luke, we have the story that's commonly known as the Good Samaritan, where a man is beaten by robbers and left for dead along the side of the road. All the good religious folks, the ones who were in worship on Sunday morning, walked by on the other side and left him to die. But the outcast, the unacceptable, the sinner, came and helped this man and provided healing for his wounds and a place for him to stay until he was whole again. And Jesus ends the parable by saying, "Go and do. Go and do just as that Samaritan did." And yet, right after the story where Jesus says, "Go and do," we have the story of Mary and Martha. Two sisters. Mary is sitting in the living room listening to Jesus teach. Martha's in the kitchen doing all of the work. And as she's working and no one is helping her, she's stomping around. She's getting redder in the face and madder because her sister is not helping. You can hear the plates smashing from the cupboards down onto the table. You can hear the frying pan hitting the stove extra loud so her sister knows how hard she's working and muttering under her breath. And finally, she reaches her limit, stomps out to the living room, and then says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister is making me do all of the work?" And Jesus' response is, "It's better for her to sit here and do nothing than to do all of the work." See how brilliantly Luke brings together the opposites. Sometimes you do, and sometimes you sit and listen. The difference is knowing which to do when. Same thing happens in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There are two parables that are put back to back. There's a common theme among the two parables, and it's the theme of vindication. That is, that God will finally vindicate those who have done right, and God finally will bring vindication against those who have done wrong. In the first parable, which we have today, the vindication is for the saints, the disciples, those who are faithfully following Jesus. But lest we think it's only the good people who get vindicated, the parable next week is that the outcast, the sinner, is vindicated. God's people are crying out, especially in Luke's generation, because it's been a couple decades since Jesus had ascended into heaven. And they say, "We are longing for the day when Jesus is going to return and set things right, but that time keeps getting longer and longer. Lord, will you come and set things right?" And the teachings of Jesus are used at this moment to say, what is required of you is that you believe Jesus is coming back and that you show persistence. You hang in there even when it's not fun and it's not easy and when it's the hardest thing to do in your life. What are the judges in your life? Those voices that judge you. Thursday is what I call my Sabbath, the day that I take off to be by myself, because I'm usually the only one that wants to be with me is me. And I enjoy that quiet time on Thursdays. And the way after I get my son on the school bus that I enjoy spending my Thursdays is going for a long run. Other mornings it's a shorter run, but on Thursday it's a long run, usually between 8 and 10 miles. And so I was starting this run on Thursday of this week, which felt really good after sitting in a car for a really long time doing some driving earlier in the week. But I know that when I do my long run, I need to start slowly. Otherwise, I'll use up all my energy and only be halfway where I want to be. And then I have to walk, and then people laugh at me because I'm walking and not running. So I'm doing this nice, slow warm-up when this young pup comes running up beside me, slows down, just sort of looks at me and said, "Why so slow today?" And then takes off running again. Boy, did I want to just give him all of the reasons why I was running. Do you know that I'm going to run 10 miles? I'd like to see you run those 10 miles at that pace that you were running. Do you realize that I haven't run for a week and a half, and so I'm a little tight, come up with all of those excuses because that voice of his just kept coming back to me. Why are you so slow? Now, that's not the only place that the judging voices come at me. Turn on the television. I don't have enough hair. I didn't realize that until I saw it on television. But there's a solution to that. My car is boring. I'm just like an assembly line. It's not any more exciting than anyone else's car. I'm not chiseled and perfectly built like the stars on television. Judgment after judgment. I turn the TV off, and then I'm thinking, what happens if something happens and there's a special report and I miss it? So even when the TV's not on, I'm wondering what I'm missing. Who are your judges? You might even be at the point where your judge is the voice inside of you. It says, you just keep making mistakes over and over again. You're not going to get it. It's not going to be right. It's going to all fall apart. Every single one of these judges is merciless, relentless, and doesn't give up. Back in 2008, when I accepted the call here to Trinity, my wife and I put our house in Youngstown, Ohio on the market in May of 2008, which is just the time that the real estate market tanked. It's a great time to go into the real estate market, which led us 2 years later to finally sell the house. Our real estate philosophy is to buy high and sell low. That's the process that we follow. But it was during the time that we are living here, we still own the house in Ohio, and I've shared this story with some of you, that I get a phone call from my realtor. He says, I just got a phone call from someone from your bank that said they're foreclosing on your mortgage. Which wasn't true because it was always paid. We've never missed a mortgage payment. So finally, as we get hold of the bank and sort it out, they had the wrong house. It was supposed to be one around the corner. But by the time we sorted it out, they had gone into our house, drained all the water lines, disconnected the electricity, and changed the locks on the house. Simple. They'll just undo it, right? No, they wouldn't undo the mistake. So I finally, when I couldn't get anywhere by phone, decided to make a trip to Youngstown and to go to the local branch of the bank that held our mortgage. And I have to admit, in my deceitful side of me, I wore my black suit, my black shirt, and my white collar. When in doubt, bring the presence of the Lord with you as well. Sat myself down in the manager's office and informed him that I was not going to leave his office until this was resolved. He made a couple phone calls. I talked to people at different levels of the bank throughout the United States, and finally he said, there's nothing more we can do. And I said, well, then this is what I'm going to do next. I'm going to go to the newspaper or to the police department and file a breaking and entering charge and name you as the person that broke into my house. He said, well, it won't stick. I said, no, but the television and the newspapers will love the story. Finally, he got hold of the vice president of the National Bank, who said, we will change and undo what we did wrong. Persistence. My wife calls it stubborn, but I think persistence sounds more of a character quality. if the judging voices in our lives will, after some persistence, show some mercy, how much more will God show mercy to you? The God of compassion and kindness and mercy, who desires justice for all people. And this is what God is doing for you through Jesus Christ. Faith is holding fast to the promise that God does that. Persistence is sticking with that belief even when difficult times come our way. So the other part of my Thursday routine is to do the grocery shopping for my family. So Thursday afternoon, I didn't realize Thursday was going to be so productive for sermon writing, so I guess I get another day off because I was technically working on Thursday coming up with these two illustrations. But I pull my grocery cart into the checkout line. Just as I'm pulling in, the customer in front of me has just finished ranting and raving at the cashier and then just yells, "I'm never coming back to the store again," and stomps out the door. So it's that awkward moment that exists when you walk into the middle of something and the cashier sort of looks at me and goes, and I look at her and go, and she finally feels the need to tell me what happened and said this customer was running late to pick her daughter up from school but decided to get some groceries on the way anyway and became more and more impatient in the checkout line because the clerk was taking too long to bag the groceries and finally just exploded at her because she was taking too long and making her be late to pick up her daughter at school. So guess who became the lightning rod? The cashier. She, of course, had experienced this whole deluge of emotions dumped over her, not sure what to do with it. Guess who became the next lightning rod? I did. Guess what job you're serving this morning? We just keep spreading it out. For those who hold fast to faith, who find peace in their souls, who don't fight fire with fire, show compassion and persistence, you will become the lightning rods for the people around you. And it will challenge you to see whether you will persist in your faith or not. The promise is this: God is present now. God chooses to be invested and involved in every part of human life. Jesus is working the gift of resurrection and new life in your life now, at work in your heart and in your mind. Will you believe that's happening to you now? It challenges you to something bigger than yourself. It challenges you to your own feelings, because too often the way that we go about life is based solely on how we feel about something. I see that challenge here in the congregation. People think that decisions in the congregation should change if they don't like the decision. Notice the criteria, like. I don't like it. It must be wrong. You should change it. I don't like fish or seafood, so I think it should be taken off every menu in every restaurant in the United States. It's holding fast to a vision larger than yourself, bigger than how you feel at the moment. And it asks that you take the risk to sacrifice. That in this uncertain time financially, we would dare to ask each one of you to increase your giving to God through the church. Commitment that my wife and I have already made for next year. And you will be asked to consider yourself next week. In the midst of everything that is troubling and fearsome, will you take the risk to make a sacrifice? The voices of the unjust judges will always be around you. The voice I will hear is that my hairline isn't what it should be. That's not the last word in my life. The voice that I will keep hearing is, yes, I run slow. That's not the last word in my life. The voice that I will hear is that I am not cut like the great movie stars of the time. That's not going to be the last word in my life. The voices that I will hear from time and place, we are not good enough, I'm not measuring up, I'm not meeting people's needs, those are not the last words in my life. The last word in our lives is the word of God, which says, you are mine, and I will show to you justice and mercy. Will you believe? Amen.